Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our 55th episode of Dr. Smith Live. I have a very interesting presentation for you tonight. And as I told Jared, my IT person, that I had so much material, I had to break it up into a fourth session, which will be next Thursday. Parasites and Apoxia will be covered next week. There's just way too much information that has to be discussed. So basically, we're talking linked to chronic fatigue and degenerative diseases, and you'll be learning 10 major causes of illness that can save your life. Unfortunately, living on this planet, we're all involved in a highly toxic environment, and you can't avoid it unless you want to live in a hazmat suit. So that's the problem today. Unfortunately, that's what the hell's going on to. And people are just going Kokomo, Bokomo. So anyway, the key in the whole equation is heavy metals are ubiquitous in our society. You can't avoid it. The unfortunate thing with dentistry and all the toxins that are out there, you're up a creek without a paddle. And that's just the way it is. You can't avoid it. So heavy metal poisoning results from the accumulation of heavy metals in toxic amounts in the soft tissues of your body. Symptoms and physical findings associated with heavy metal poisoning vary according to the metal accumulated. And many of the heavy metals such as zinc, copper, chromium, iron, and manganese are essential to the body, but in small amounts. The problem occurs when you get too much accumulation and it concentrates in the different organs of the body and you get serious damage. So that's really what the hell's going on. Unfortunately, a little bit of water is good, but you know, you can drown if you have too much. You know what I mean? It's a little bit is good, too much is overwhelming. So the key here is that by eating very good organic foods, good quality protein, and this is one of the reasons why. Unreal. Sorry about that. One of the problems is that the heavy metals most commonly associated with poisoning in humans are basically lead, mercury, arsenic, nickel, aluminum, and cadmium. So heavy metal poisoning may occur as a result of industrial exposure, air or water pollution, foods, medicines, dentistry, which is really, really toxic, improperly coated food containers, or ingestion of lead-based paints, which in this day and age is minimal to none, but there's a lot of lead pipes, believe it or not, in areas of like Virginia, Washington, D.C., from the 1700s. And believe it or not, these small airplanes that are flying around, literally, it's all lead poisoning. And because of the fuel, they use leaded fuel. So if you live near one of these small airports or traffic with little planes going over you, you're getting lead dumped onto you. So we'll start off with some arsenic. Very interesting. A lot of the pesticides, the feed that they're giving the chickens is loaded with arsenic. And when the chicken gets inundated with arsenic poisoning, it literally doesn't stop eating. So instead of going to market in 16 weeks, the chicken is rushed off and fully developed in 4 weeks. What a profit margin that's going to create. So basically, arsenic is found in contaminated water, seafood, and algae. And like I said, you're going to get it by eating chickens. Even though it's an organic chicken, if they're feeding the chicken arsenic-laced food, makes no difference. You're going to get it. So overexposure may cause headaches, drowsiness, confusion, seizures, and life-threatening complications. Neurological symptoms include brain damage. They call that encephalopathy. Nerve damage to the extremities, that's peripheral neuropathy. Pericapillary hemorrhages, in which the white matter and loss of the deficiency of the fat coverings of your nerves, and this is called demyelinization. So skin problems include transverse white bands on the fingernails. It's called Mies lines, M-E-E-S apostrophe, Mies lines, and excessive accumulation of fluid in the soft tissue. So it's edema, swelling, puffiness. Gastrointestinal symptoms include a flu-like illness, gastroenteritis that is characterized by vomiting, abdominal pain, fever, and diarrhea, which in some cases may be bloody. Other symptoms include breakdown of the hemoglobin of your red blood cells, that's called hemolysis, and low level of iron in the red blood cells called anemia, and low blood pressure or hypotension. Some individuals may experience a garlic-like odor that may be detectable on your breath. In cases of chronic poisoning, weakness, muscle aches, chills, fever may develop. The onset of symptoms in chronic arsenic poisoning is usually 2 to 8 weeks after exposure. The skin and the nail symptoms include hardening patches of skin, they call it hyperkeratosis, with unusually deep creases on the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet. Unusual darkening of certain areas of the skin, they call that hyperpigmentation. Transverse white bands on your fingernails, which we mentioned earlier, called Mies lines, and a scale-like inflammation of the skin, exfoliative dermatitis. Other symptoms include inflammatory or inflammation of your sensorimotor nerves and mucosal membranes lining your throat. With cadmium poisoning, it may be caused by ingestion of food such as grains, cereals, and leafy vegetables, and cigarette smoke. And they say the secondhand cigarette smoke is actually worse than if you smoked a cigarette yourself. Cadmium is used for many items, including extra electroplating, storage batteries, vapor from welding, vapor lamps, exhaust fumes, and in some solders. The onset of symptoms may be delayed for 2 to 4 hours after exposure. Exposure may cause fatigue, headaches, nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramps, diarrhea, and fever. In addition, progressive loss of lung function, they call it emphysema, abnormal buildup of fluid within your lungs, pulmonary edema, and breathlessness, dyspnea, may also be present. In some cases, affected individuals may exhibit increased salivation, yellowing of the teeth, an unusual rapid heartbeat, which is called tachycardia, low levels of iron within your red blood cells, that's called anemia, bluish discoloration or cyanosis of the skin and mucous membranes due to insufficient oxygen in these tissues, and impairment of the sense of smell, and anosmia. Individuals with cadmium poisoning may also experience improper functioning of the canals within the kidneys. They call that renal tubular dysfunction, characterized by excretion of abnormally high volumes of protein in the urine, that's protein urea, minor changes in the liver function, and a softening of certain bones, osteomalacia. With lead poisoning, like I said, small aircraft use leaded gasoline. So if you're in the path of many flights of small planes, you're getting dumped on. So lead is literally stored in the bones, and it may affect any organ system. The effects of lead poisoning varies depending on the age of the individual and the amount of exposure. Also, when lead's combined with fluoride, like fluoridated water, you're going to get some major brain damage and behavioral problems. So in children, symptoms vary depending upon the degree of exposure to the lead. Some affected individuals may not have any noticeable symptoms. Symptoms usually develop over 3 to 6 week time period. Lead overexposure may cause children to be less playful, clumsier, irritable, and sluggish, lethargic. In some cases, symptoms include headaches, vomiting, abdominal pain, lack of appetite, anorexia, constipation, slurred speech, dysarthria, changes in kidney function, unusual high amounts of protein in your blood, hyperproteinemia, and unusual pale skin, resulting from low level of iron in the red blood cells, anemia. So neurological symptoms associated with lead overexposure include impaired ability to coordinate voluntary movements, it's called ataxia. Sometimes drug toxicity can cause ataxia also. brain damage, encephalopathy, seizures, convulsions, swellings of the optic nerve. They call that papilledemia, and impaired consciousness. Some affected children experience learning or behavioral problems such as mental retardation and selective deficits in language, cognitive function, balance, behavior, and school performance. In some cases, symptoms may be life-threatening. In adults, overexposure to lead may cause high blood pressure, damage to reproductive organs. Additional symptoms may include fever, headaches, fatigue, sluggishness, vomiting, loss of appetite, abdominal pain, constipation, joint pain, loss of recently acquired skills, incoordination, listlessness, difficulty sleeping, it's insomnia, of course, irritability, altered consciousness, hallucinations, and/or seizures. In addition, affected individuals may experience low levels of iron in their red blood cells, peripheral neuropathy, which is numbness in your hands and your feet, and in some cases, brain damage. Some affected individuals experience decreased muscle strength and endurance, kidney disease, wrist dropping, behavioral changes such as hostility, depression, and/or anxiety. In some cases, symptoms may be life-threatening. Lead is excreted in the urine and feces. However, it may also appear in the hair, nails, sweat, saliva, and breast milk. Mercury poisoning. We certainly had our fill with that, with all the mercury fillings in our mouth. And then you had that exposure in Japan back in the 50s called the Minamata disease, where they're dumping mercury toxic waste into the local water supply. So mercury is used by dentists. Like I said, dentistry is one of the biggest terrorist groups on the planet. Dental assistants and hygienists and chemical workers, they're exposed very heavily. If you go to a dentist and you're sitting in a reception room and he's cutting out a mercury fill in a patient, you could be getting 2,000 to 4,000 times the amount of mercury that the EPA allows. So it's very dangerous sitting in a dental office sometimes. So again, mercury can affect your lungs, your kidney, your brain, and your skin. Symptoms of mercury poisoning include fatigue, depression, sluggishness, irritability, and headaches. Sometimes people have what they call tialism, where they're drooling from the sides of their mouth, salivation from mercury poisoning. Respiratory symptoms associated with inhalation to mercury vapors include coughing, breathlessness, tightness, or burning pain in the chest, and a respiratory distress. Some affected individuals may experience abdominal buildup of fluid in the lungs, pulmonary edema, pneumonia, and or formation of fibrosis in the tissue. Anytime you have chronic inflammation, you're going to get fibrosis. And that's where zimesins comes in, a great, great systemic enzyme. There may be behavioral and neurological changes associated with overexposure to mercury poisoning, such as excitability and quick-tempered behavior, lack of concentration, loss of memory, shock and permanent brain damage may also be the result from mercury poisoning. Some affected individuals experience mental confusion, progressive cerebellar syndrome with impaired ability to coordinate voluntary movements, that's called ataxia, of the arms, and may also be present. Abnormal involuntary movements of the body, such as uncontrolled jerky movements, combined with slow withering movements, are common. Additional symptoms include non-inflammatory degenerative diseases of the nerves, polyneuropathy, impaired ability to coordinate voluntary movements, cerebellar ataxia, tremors of the legs and the arms, and in some cases of the tongue, lips, also seizures, and or slurred speech, dysarthria. Changes in mood, behavior, and consciousness may also occur. Excuse me. In some cases, chronic exposure to inorganic mercury, personality disorder known as erethism, or Mad Hatter's disease. You know, back in England in the late 1800s, when they were making hats, they had a felt band on the inside, and they used a mercury compound to add stiffness to it. And many of these workers, committed suicide and had all kinds of neurological problems from the exposure of the mercury that they were using in the hats. Symptoms associated with Mad Hatter syndrome include memory loss, excessive shyness, abnormal excitability and/or insomnia. The syndrome was described in workers with occupational exposure to mercury in the felt hat industry, especially in England in the late 1800s. Many affected individuals experienced sensory impairment, such as visual problems, constriction of the visual field, tunnel vision, blindness, as well as hearing loss. Sounds like the congressman in Washington, D.C. have some mercury poisoning here. Some individuals may experience skin changes, such as painful swelling and pink coloration of their fingers and toes, acridania, persistent redness or inflammation of the skin, erythema, extreme sensitivity, hyperesthesia of the affected areas, and tingling and sensory disturbances. In some cases, other affected individuals may experience stomach and intestinal disturbances, kidney damage, dehydration, acute renal failure, inflammation of the gums, gingivitis, severe local irritation of the mouth and the pharynx, your throat area, accompanied by vomiting and or abdominal cramps with bloody diarrhea. So mercury is mainly excreted through the urine and the feces. And unfortunately, if you have mercury fillings in your mouth and you have dissimilar metals, such as gold crowns or chrome cobalt partial or titanium implants, the galvanic currents that result are going to cause mercury to come out 10 times faster because of the galvanic current. It's like a battery in your mouth. So how the heck we get rid of the mercury? Well, there's a number of what they call chelating agents. One is called IMD, and it's called intestinal metal detox. That's by Quicksilver. Another great product is called Platinum Plus. There's no metal platinum in there. It's just called Platinum Plus because it's a superior amino acid product by Super Nutrients. Glutathione, and there's several different companies, Max GXL, Premier Research, or Liposomal by Quicksilver. Dental cord from the homeopathic company Energetics. Metal cord also from Energetics. And Premier Research has a great product called Clay FX. And there's Medi Dental Pack combined with Neuro ND by Premier Research. There's IV, you can get the glutathione treatments, but these are the seven that are very effective that you can get your hands on. Now, when it comes to EMFs, anytime you have metals in your body, they're going to act as an antenna, and that's where the damage comes in. So if you have gold bridges in your mouth or titanium implants or mercury fillings, they're literally acting as antenna pulling the EMFs into your body a whole lot faster. So EMF effect on the humans. So hundreds of studies have shown that microwave changes in the calcium fluxes and intracellular calcium channel signaling. Non-thermal studies have shown that in most cases, pulsed fields are more active than are non-pulsed fields, and that exposures within certain intensity windows have much larger biological effects than do either low or high intensity exposures. Now, the big problem is that EMFs weakens the cell membranes, opening up the blood-brain barrier to allow easier passage of toxins and pathogens into your brain. Saying it in other words, EMFs are going to allow viruses, bacteria, fungi, heavy metals, and all kinds of chemicals to get into your brain a whole lot faster. So the longer you're holding that cell phone up to your ear, the more toxins and pathogens are going to get into your brain. So it really behooves you to get a what they call radiation headset. It's about $30. It's air tubes to break that magnetic field around your brain so you don't open up the blood-brain barrier. This is not maybe if, this has all been documented. When the voltage-gated channels are activated in the brain, they release neurotransmitters and neuroendocrine hormones. The elevated voltage-gated calcium channel activity in certain parts of the brain has been shown to produce a variety of neuropsychiatric effects. Among the most common factors, consequences of chronic EMF exposure to the brain are anxiety, depression, autism, and Alzheimer's. Unfortunately, people get these cordless phone systems and they're 900 megahertz. and they're actually worse than your cell phone. And people have them all over their apartments, and they think it's a great, benefit, so that they can, grab the phone anywhere they're in their apartments. But in the long run, the bases are constantly communicating with one another, and you're getting exposure to 900 megahertz, which I said is literally worse than your cell phone. So again, anxiety, depression, autism, and Alzheimer's associated with the EMF. Also, common heart problems are linked to EMF exposure, such as cardiac arrhythmias associated with sudden cardiac death, atrial fibrillation or atrial flutter, premature atrial contractions, and premature ventricular contractions, also known as heart palpitations, tachycardia, which is fast heartbeat, and bradycardia, which is slow beat. So 10 things not to do. Do not sleep next to a router. Do not hold your smartphone close to your ear. If you hold the phone, if you have a 7-minute conversation, it literally activates Epstein-Barr virus in your body. That's all been documented. It's not hearsay, maybe, or if. Do not use earbuds. They literally fry your brains bilaterally. Do not stick your head in a microwave to dry your hair. Haven't seen that in the news recently, but you never know. Do not buy a house that's close to a major power line system. Do not make love under large transformers. Do not use a cordless phone to 900 megahertz. They're worse than your regular cell phone. Do not charge your phone next to your bed when you're sleeping. Do not use a protective diode, unless you've actually tested it to make sure it's actually working. Because it can give you a false sense of security. There's a lot of diodes on the market that just aren't effective. And do not keep your smartphone in your back pocket or side pocket. 5G networks. 4G has a 50 millisecond delay. 5G data transfers will offer a mere 1 millisecond delay. We humans won't notice the difference, but it'll permit machines to achieve near seamless communication. What a difference between 4G and 5G, from 50 milliseconds to 1 millisecond. And that's why they're putting up all these 5G systems about 100, yards apart, because they're going to have, within the next 5 years, you're going to see driverless trucks. The only way that they'll work is with a 5G system where there's line of sight, where the truck can be guided along the roads. So more bandwidth, more dangers of 5G. Faster processing speeds require more bandwidth. Our current frequency bandwidths are quickly becoming saturated. The idea behind 5G is to use untapped bandwidth of the extremely high frequency millimeter waves called MMWs between 300 gigahertz and 300 gigahertz, in addition to some lower and mid-range frequencies. High-frequency millimeter waves travel in short distances. They don't travel well through buildings and tend to be absorbed by rain and plants, leading to signal interference. So that's why there's going to be line of sight. Every probably 100 feet or more, you're going to have these little boxes all over the place. The necessary infrastructure will require many smaller, barely noticeable cell towers situated closer together with more input and output ports than there are on the much larger, easier to see 4G towers. This would likely result in wireless antennas every few feet on every lamppost and utility pole in your neighborhood. As of 2015, there were 308,000 wireless antennas on cell towers and buildings. That's double the 202 number. 5G would require exponentially more smaller ones placed much closer together, with each emitting bursts of radio frequency radiation at levels much lower than that of today's 4G towers. That will be much harder to avoid because these towers will be ubiquitous. They will be all over the place. Serious health concerns. In 2011, the World Health Organization, International Agency for Research on Cancer, classified the RFR as potential 2B carcinogens. and specified that the use of mobile phones could lead to specific forms of brain tumors. Many studies have associated low-level RFR exposure with a litany of health effects, including DNA single and double strand breaks, which lead to cancer, oxidative damage, which leads to tissue deterioration and premature aging, disruption of cell metabolism, increased blood-brain barrier permeability, melatonin reduction, leading to insomnia and increase in cancer risks, disruption of brain glucose metabolism, generation of stress proteins leading to a myriad of diseases. So it is a plethora of a time bomb, which will explode in the next few years as more and more people get exposed to the graphene oxide from the vaccines, which act as an antenna in your body. And you're going to see more and more medical problems as a result. So some common nutritional deficiencies. These are things that I notice clinically. Vitamin D3 is a big one, especially with people who have cancer and other chronic diseases, especially during the wintertime. You don't have your body exposure to the sun. And I think it's one of the reasons why Florida will have a lower rate of COVID because of the sunshine and the more vitamin D, higher vitamin D levels in the body. Zinc. So it can't be stored in a body. So you need to get your daily fix through food or supplement. Those of you who like sardines, like myself, they're loaded with zinc. And maybe that's why I like sardines. I like zinc orotate because it's the way it appears in mother's milk and it's very easily absorbed. So some of the symptoms of zinc deficiency include impaired growth, delayed puberty, erectile dysfunction, diarrhea, hair loss, swollen tongue, distorted or discolored nails, and decreased immunity. It's one of the big problems with the COVID today. You can't store zinc. You have to get it in the daily doses. So if you're not getting it in your diet, the zinc actually is the antidote for the COVID virus. It stops the viral replication once it gets into the cell. And that's where quercetin is very efficient. It drives it into the cell, but it's only about 50% as effective as hydroxychloroquine. So it doesn't take much to fulfill your daily quota. The maximum intake of zinc depends on your age. So from 0 to 6 months, you only need 4 milligrams, 7 to 12 months, 5 milligrams, 1 to 3 years, 7 milligrams, 4 to 8 years, 12 milligrams, 9 to 13 years, 23 milligrams, 14 to 18, 34 milligrams, 19 and older, 40 milligrams. I take 60 milligrams a day just as an added measure of safety. Vitamin C must be food-based. Green buckwheat, Indian gooseberry, citrus fruits, peppers, tomatoes, and berries. Some studies have found that vitamin C may moderately reduce uric acid levels in people who have gout. Normal uric acid levels are 1.5 to 6 micrograms per deciliter in women and 2.5 to 7 milligrams per deciliter in men, according to a review published in Frontiers in Bioscience. Recommended dose is 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C. People who have high levels of oxygen, according to Dr. Robert Lyons over in Budapest, they've actually have it documented that when you have high levels of oxygen in your body can produce its own vitamin C. So that's a major find from a nutritional perspective. Omega-6 oils. The consumption of typical grocery vegetable oils undermines and destroys human health over time. They will age your cells faster. Unapparent. The reason for this is that modern manufacturing methods purposely alter vegetable oils so that they do not attract, hold, and transfer oxygen as well as they would otherwise do. Once they incorporate into cell membranes, so oils make up a large part of the cell membrane, like at least 50%, they resist oxygen transfer from the blood into the cell, adversely affecting cell oxygen content and health. when the cell person eats adulterated vegetable oils, they literally become incorporated in your cell membrane, literally turning it into plastic. So eventually poor health, especially cancer, is an unintended result because the omega-6 oils literally act as a magnet pulling the oxygen into your cell. So all the oils pretty much on the grocery shelves are adulterated and they're pro-inflammatory, whereas organic cold-pressed oils are anti-inflammatory. Okay. So dosage, 1 teaspoon per day, or 4 725-milligram capsules. And that's the bottom line, is you need it on a regular basis because omega-6 oils are parent essential oils, meaning that they can be converted to EPA, DHA, omega-9s, omega-7s, omega-3s, whatever your body needs. It can make it from the parent omega-6 oils. Quercetin is the most abundant flavonoid in our diet, present in many common foods such as onions, apples, grapes, and berries. It's a powerful immune booster and a broad-spectrum antiviral. Quercetin was initially found to provide broad-spectrum protection against SARS coronavirus in the aftermath of the 2003 SARS epidemic. Recommended dosage, 500 to 1,000 milligrams per day. B vitamins. B vitamins can also influence several COVID-19 specific disease processes, including viral replication and invasion, cytokine storm, which is inflammatory storm induction, and adaptive immunity and hypercoagulability. So the following symptoms may be a sign that you're not getting enough B vitamins: skin rashes, cracks around your mouth, scaly skin on the lips, swollen tongue, fatigue, weakness, anemia, confusion, irritability or depression, nausea, abdominal cramps, diarrhea, constipation, numbness or tingling in the feet and the hands. Another great supplement that unfortunately people don't get enough of is NAC, N-acetylcysteine. It's the precursor to reduced glutathione, which appears to play a crucial role in COVID-19. It's also anti-inflammatory and antioxidant. According to one literature analysis, glutathione deficiency may actually be associated with COVID severity, leading the authors to conclude that NAC may be useful both for prevention and treatment. Glutathione is a tripeptide amino acid that can be synthesized in all cells of the body. Glutathione is involved in many biological processes such as free radical neutralization, detoxification, transport, and storage of cysteine, maintenance of cellular redox, which is a balance between the production of reactive oxygen species, reactive nitrogen species, and their removal accomplished through a transfer of electrons from an electron donor, which is a reducing agent, to an electron acceptor, which is oxidizing agent, ascorbic acid and vitamin E regeneration, transport of mercury and other heavy metals out of the cells in the brain and serving as a great coenzyme. So again, Max GXL, which is glutathione, also has NAC in it. Recommended doses, 1,000 to 3,000 milligrams a day. Indiamese, not many people are aware of Indiamese. It's 49th in the periodic table. It raises mineral uptake by your endocrine glands, and it's documented to increase longevity, and it's also anti-aging. I take 3 drops on my tongue first thing in the morning when I get up, and it'll help increase energy and longevity, which has all been documented. It's not a maybe if. All you need is 3 drops directly on your tongue. It's a patented form of indium sulfate, which is easily absorbed. Indium does appear in seaweed, but it's not readily absorbed. pH balance. It's ionic form of trace minerals to alkalize your body. Most people are way too acidic, like 6.5 and below, and that's conducive for cancer and low oxygen and susceptibility to viruses. Curcumin, it's anti-inflammatory and increases the level of endogenous antioxidants in your body. helpful with depression and anxiety and pain and function in osteoarthritis. A reduction in your LDL cholesterol, blood glucose, and blood pressure assists the liver in phase two detoxification. Curcumin is poorly absorbed and must be taken with piperine, which is black pepper extract, or combined it with lipids or essential oils. So if you do buy a curcumin product, you want to make sure that you either take it with an essential oils like omega-6 oils, or it has the piperine compound in there to make it absorbable. 500 milligrams with each meal or 1,500 milligrams a day. So I made it. And hopefully, I know I threw a lot of information at you, unfortunately, but the key is that it's very worthwhile. So that's the name of the game. Hopefully, the notes will be up on the website at the GHS.live. And if you have any problems, you can go there and send us emails if you don't understand anything. But you can read the notes. And all you got to do is get back to basics. That's the key in the whole equation. You know, all this fancy DNA stuff and all is meaningless if you're running an acidic pH, if you have low oxygen, and you don't get enough vitamin D3, you don't get enough glutathione and curcumin, and other antioxidants or essential oils, your body can't run right. It's like an automobile that has a clogged gas line or no battery. So anyway, Jared, let's see, have you ever heard about idiopathic intracranial hypertension, also known as pseudotumor cerebri? What causes high intracranial pressure? Well, interestingly, I had a patient presently who has pressure in her head and is driving her crazy. And when I tested her out, she had glyphosate in her brain. Any toxin that gets into the blood brain, you know, through the blood-brain barrier into your brain is going to cause encephalopathy or swelling of your brain. So it could be glyphosate, it could be dioxin, it could be heavy metals, it could be viruses in your brain causing the swelling. And traditional medicine will never, ever pick this stuff up. So yes, you got to start looking at toxicity. Too much cell phone use will cause inflammation in the brain. If you have Wi-Fi in your bedroom where you're sleeping, or you're working with Wi-Fi all during the day, or using the 900 megahertz cellular or cordless phones, all these things can cause inflammation in your brain. So you got to nail it down. What would you recommend for acid reflux? Usually acid reflux is a lack of hydrochloric acid, believe it or not, because when you don't digest your protein, you get organic acids forming. So that could be a real serious problem. Plant-based digestive enzymes to help break down the food, and try some apple cider vinegar, like a teaspoon mixed in like 6 ounces of water before you eat. That could be very, very beneficial in resolving it. So it's not expensive, easy to get your hands on, and give it a shot. Can you expand on how to heal joints? More exact, the facet joints in the cervical. Well, it makes no difference which joints, but from a dental perspective, if you have loss of vertical height between your teeth, you're going to get compression of your cervical vertebrae and spine. So that could be one factor that's causing deterioration of your facet joints in the cervical area. Also, if you have chronic infection in the neck area, that could be a factor. Also, not getting enough MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane, which helps to repair the fibrous tissue in the joint. Collagen. you know, I love oxtail soup. Well, when you eat stuff like that, a good Korean soup, you're getting collagen, and that helps to repair the fibrous tissue in the joints. Also, pulse magnetic therapy works real well to help stimulate stem cells in the neck or anywhere you put it. And so that's, you know, these are little things like that. And again, look at the pH. Again, look at your thyroid, because that, if it's a lot of, a very high percentage of people in the population have a low thyroid because of the chlorine in the water, fluoride in the water and toothpaste, bromine in the bleach products. Suppressed thyroid suppresses metabolism. And so you can't repair any structure with a low thyroid. So also getting good quality protein. And this is where I believe strict vegetarians can't cut it when it comes to, you know, good quality healing, because they don't have enough good amino acids to supply. And then you also need minerals and the oils to help as a diffuser pushing the minerals into the tissues. So look for dental potential issues causing compression of the neck, and again, nutrients. Let's see. Do you have any recommendations for acne? Interestingly, fluoride will cause acne, but most of the acne literally is coming from a toxic bowel, toxic intestines. So good probiotic, also scrubbing the intestines out with food grade diatomaceous earth for 90 days. Start with a teaspoon and 8 ounces of water for 1 week, then a tablespoon in 12 ounces of water for 90 days, and a good probiotic, cleaning out the intestines. So your skin is one of the biggest excretory glands of the body, and it's reflecting what's going on in your bowel. So that's the problem. Okay. Do we have any other questions there? Is there a way to prevent or slow down TMD development? Well, one of the things is cranial distortions. If your temporal bones are torqued or twisted, meaning they're rotated, your TM joints can't work right. You can put 100 appliances in the mouth. You got to straighten the doorframe, which is your temporal bones. Most dentists don't even know this stuff exists. So you could play around with the teeth all you want. You got to straighten the doorframes. And also vertical support on the teeth helps to decompress the joint, the TM joint. So these are basic issues that unfortunately most dentists don't address. Yeah. Are twitching symptoms part of heavy metal toxicity? It can be, or a lack of minerals in the diet. Like I said, most people are too acidic. Most people don't get enough trace minerals in the diet, and it goofs them up. So twitching, or that could be muscles and all, lack of B vitamins, but usually lack of minerals. And most people get, unfortunately, too much heavy metals. Thoughts on colonoscopy? My philosophy is the only one that's going to stick a tube up my rectum is going to be a U-boat commander. Other than that, if you're eating a diet high in fiber, good quality, guess what? You're not going to have colon cancer and your fibroids. Unfortunately, the interesting thing is they're usually nests for parasites. So I would do 90-day food-grade diatomaceous earth, really scrub your intestinal wall, get them real clean. Try to stay away from the adulterated oils because they become rancid. That's why canola oil is so damn toxic, because it literally goes rancid in the body. Make sure you're getting enough fiber in your diet. Like, I had a delicious raw salad for dinner tonight, and I made a raw juice with Granny Smith apples, celery, carrots, beets, dandelion greens, cilantro. And so I have all the fiber, and I have Sunoco racing fuel with all the high quality detoxing foods. And you won't have these problems. You know, when you get to these third world cultures, they don't have a colon cancer. It's not even in their vocabulary. So keep it clean, because if your colon is toxic, so goes your brain, because it's directly connected with the vagus nerve and the lymphatics. So is recommendation for a teenager with IBS. Okay, David, irritable bowel syndrome could be many different potential causes. I've seen patients that had vaccines trapped in their intestines. So again, you have to be able to test kinesiologically with test kits to get any results from that perspective. Also, any parasites in the intestines. 50% of the American population has parasites. So you got to test for that. Low functioning thyroid will cause digestion problems, putrefaction, constipation, lack of B vitamins also is a major factor with the peristaltic waves, the tone of your smooth muscle. So these are the things that I would seriously look at. Again, heavy metal problems, vaccines trapped in the intestines. So that's what I'd look at. Is there a way to detox for HPV virus? Well, here's the key. We have a trillion pathogens in our body at any given time, a trillion. And the only way they become activated is when you're stressed out and you're too acidic. You don't have enough good protein for your immune system. You don't have enough minerals to alkalize you, because your oral pH should be 7.35 to 7.45. Most people are like 6.5, way too acidic, low oxygen. And that's why these viruses manifest. So you could kill the virus all you want, detox it all you want. If the terrain is toxic, it's all going to come back. Because like I said, there's a trillion pathogens in our body. And it's when the terrain becomes corrupted is when they become opportunistic and take hold. So the key is, you know, my 6-stage detox program. We have a wonderful program online. It's an advanced course, gives you all the answers, all the information, the nutrients to use. And it's a very powerful program that I put together. But it holds true for anything, whether it be dioxin, glyphosate, or virus. Again, the stronger your body is, the more alkaline it is, then these things aren't going to manifest. Okay, thoughts on Shilajit? I'm not familiar with that. Okay. So, how we doing there? No more questions? Anyway, do you know what is the cause of liver cysts? Usually, it could be parasites. You have to think about it. A cyst is basically a way that the body is walling off some toxin to prevent it from, wreaking havoc by causing chronic inflammation. So the body walls it off with the fibrous tissue. So again, reducing parasites in the body, keeping a more alkaline terrain, getting enough food-based nutrients, B, C, and D, okay, the essential oils, you're going to minimize, cysts and polyps and all these other issues that, the average American, 60% of the Americans have one chronic illness, and that shouldn't be. It's all food-based diseases, and that's the problem today. The food is deficient in minerals and nutrients, and, we think we're eating a nice big juicy tomato, and it's tasteless because it's hydroponically produced. I mean, my son hates tomatoes, but when he started to eat my greenhouse tomatoes, he couldn't believe the difference, because it tastes like a tomato. It's delicious. So whenever possible, try to get organic or grow your own. So how we doing there? Anyway, next week will be fun. We'll talk about some parasites. And that's the name of the game. I'm telling you, it's all ground level basics, pH, parasites, cell membrane integrity, exercise, and do the things that you enjoy on a regular basis so you're not stressed out. Hug a tree at least once a week. Get rid of your negative vibes. And enjoy life every day, because you never know if tomorrow's coming, to be honest with you. So enjoy every day as if it was the first day in your journey. So thank you so much. Enjoy and stay well. See you next week.